Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Up next, we have Janine Sachs, registered dietitian. We're going to be chatting to her now. Thank you for your time. And Janine, welcome to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Awesome to have you with us. And I suppose it's a very challenging time of year for the Jewish community coming out of the overeating of Rosh Hashanah and going into the fast this week. I suppose my silly question would be, if it's called a fast, why is it so slow? And so hope that's not too bad. What I wanted to just kick off with is, what are the different types of fasts and how do they sort of affect people? And how do we sort of break them down?
All right. So there are a whole lot of different fastings. The most common one seems to be the intermittent fasting. And even within that, there's so many variations with your intervals of when you're fasting or not. I think the breakdown is basically to understand why you're going into fasting. And so we're putting religion aside. Within that, whichever fast it is that you're going for, people generally do it for health motivated reasons, and sometimes for weight loss reasons. You've got to go into understanding your body and knowing if the changes are actually benefiting you or not. Not everyone can fast. Some people suffer from low blood sugar, and as a result, they'll feel terrible from day one. Others thrive in it. So not all body types will agree with any of the fasting regimens.
What is the value of fasting? Is it a specific value based on any type of fast, or do different fasts have different values and benefits?
So different fasts definitely have different values or benefits. Generally, the goals behind them is to the longer periods of fasting are to go into ketosis, where you stop using your body's own glucose stores for energy and you go into fat burning. So the benefits behind that, or they're meant to be, initially it started years ago as a diet for epileptics. And then sort of it's hit the market in terms of health and wellness. Just depending on how long your period of fasting is, that's often the goal, is to go into ketosis. Otherwise, intermittent fasting type of intervals or time-restricted eating is there to maximize insulin, your insulin tolerance, and improve glucose tolerance. And that whole glucose system. And within that, also some people see benefits with cholesterol and hypertension or blood pressure.
We're going to go quickly to an ad break. And when I come back, I want to talk about, when do you start to see a patient? What are the reasons they're coming to you for? And then sort of the process from that for our listeners.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday and you are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. Well, unless you're listening to the show on Sunday, and then it's Sunday. That's for my friends at the Ilova Chabad who keep bullying me. We're chatting with Janine Sachs, registered dietitian, talking about fasting, the different types of fasts, and how fasting affects our body and our overall well-being. Janine, if we look at it, what is the process in working with a patient? What are the reason they're coming to see you? And sort of what is the start of their journey around fasting?
All right. So generally within my practice, patients come in for either weight or weight related to health issues, your hypertensions, high cholesterol, and glucose metabolism. So insulin stories or diabetics. Often they'll come in and say, what about this diet or this trend or so on? And I don't automatically put somebody onto fasting. If somebody is finding that the fasting is working for them, then I'll work with them to try find the ideal breakdown of when to be eating, when to be fasting. But within that, generally what I think is just so much more important is when you are eating, what it is that you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
So with any of these, any diet, and we go back to the calorie counting diets as such, as long as you were sticking to certain calories within a day, it didn't matter what you ate, you know, as long as you didn't exceed your maximum. So it's much eating today and eating for health is much more important about what you're eating, not necessarily the timing of eating. So, yeah, that's generally what I emphasize.
I think it was the old analogy, sort of particularly I think in the 90s, where everything was fat-free, but it was loaded with sugar for taste. And we were all busy counting calories, but in essence, a fizzy drink, a cool drink, may have the same calories as broccoli, but it's not really the same effect on our bodies. When did that sort of mindset start to change?
I'd say over the last couple of years, probably the last emphasis definitely in the last 5 to 10 years, where it's not just about specific calories, as you say, but food and each food's function and purpose within the body. Mm-hmm. So things like anti-inflammatories and antioxidants and all of that kind of, all these kind of buzzwords are just so important in terms of health. So looking after the processes that go on that we can't see within our systems.
Have you found in your practice that sort of social media, the sharing of different videos and information, has made people more aware of what's available, the value of fasting, the value of managing what's going on in our systems, and I suppose as well as overwhelming people with a bit too much information and possible fad diets and so on?
There's always been a flood of information, whether it was in the magazines that everyone used to buy that they don't buy anymore, or perhaps the newspapers used to feature articles and so on. But I think what's more emphasized today is that all these logarithms, as soon as you'll click on a certain something, be it intermittent fasting, you'll be flooded with information about that, which can also just be so overwhelming. And at one, it can leave you feeling like you are an expert, but at the same time, people are often just flooded with so much information that they don't know which way to turn.
Right. 100%. In what you do, can you share a little bit, not any specific patient stories, but the benefits and the values that you've seen for patients in working with a professional, in making sure that they're on the right diet, that they're eating the right things, they're eating the right things at the right time to optimize their well-being?
One of my favorite outcomes is when somebody comes in pre-diabetic, or even, starting off diabetes, and through lifestyle and diet changes, you can completely reverse that. So definitely in lifestyle being exercise and diet, learning about what to eat and when to eat. So I'd say those are my favorite success stories. So lifestyle diseases are called lifestyle diseases because it's really just about that. And same story with often if someone will come in with slightly raised cholesterol, they've suddenly had a check and they're in a panic because cholesterol's borderline. And the doctor said, go see your dietitian and change a few things. And within 6 months, you 6 weeks, you can really make a difference. Not everyone. Sometimes if it's familial, there's only so much of a dent you can do. But generally, if it's lifestyle related, we can make some amazing changes.
And within those changes, do you see people's relationship with food change, and sort of the adoption of a healthier lifestyle is something that they want to do as opposed to have to do?
Well, there's all different personality types, and some will be convinced and stay on their path for life, and others slowly, bad habits might trickle back in. They're at the back of the mind, they'll know what's right or wrong, but don't always adhere. So unfortunately, we aren't robots, and there's so many factors that do come into it that often will determine compliance.
Absolutely. I think I met a gentleman many, many years ago, and he was eating a milli for breakfast. And I asked him about it, and he said, no, he was very overweight, and he was a cancer survivor, and now he's lean and healthy and mean, and he's realized sort of eating in a specific way is what's keeping him going. And I think from a big shock, where it's life-threatening, people possibly tend to be a little bit more compliant rather than something that's a little bit of a knock. What advice would you give to people in terms of their eating that they could apply today in terms of improving their quality of life?
I'd say the one thing, and going back to that whole story of anti-inflammation, antioxidants, a simple rule that people can implement is this from the World Health Organization, but this is what we call the five-a-day rule, where you're aiming within your fruit and vegetable food group to get as much color and variety as possible. Mm. So within that, ideally five colors. One could be dark green. Another one... Mm-hmm. Like your yellows or oranges, so in summer mangoes, otherwise vegetable group could be pumpkins, butternuts. We say one vitamin C rich one. And generally I like to add in, which today is very much a buzzword, is to go for the purples or the dark reds, so the blueberries mm-hmm. or the brinjals and so on, and then one other. So it's an easy rule to apply literally, but if you take your whole day, you can very easily put in color and variety. Often at the shops, there's these buy and save. So if you buy three different things, you can save. So it's a nice way to get it in. Don't buy three greens, buy three different colors.
Absolutely. There's a certain famous supermarket that delivers, and I get very excited when I see those, buy this, add two of these. And it's always a fun way to mix it up and keep a lot of fruit and veg around. Now, for you, I find fruit is a great sort of midday filler. If you want a snack, you want to feel satiated. And I'd like to get your view sort of on healthy snacks, because I know time is always a factor for people. We're going to go to ad break, and when we come back, let's chat about healthy snacks. And then I'd just like your thoughts on nutrition as we start to wrap up. Let's go to ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show. As we start to wrap up, we've been chatting with Janine Sachs, registered dietitian. Jean, your thoughts on snacking throughout the day, if people are rushing, and we can always talk about, we need to be able to sit down and eat our meals, but if life is getting in the way, what are some of the good snacks?
All right. So also I'd say just determine how hungry you are or aren't. If eating an apple or a fruit is enough to get you from meal to meal, that's great. If you find it's just not enough, sometimes adding a bit of protein or dairy to the fruit could work better. So for example, fruit salad in some yogurt, or even if you're having some fruit, you could have some raw dry nuts with it. That combination, getting a bit of fat and protein at the same time, might help sustain you a little bit longer. The same thing, you could literally do some light crackers, but I would make sure that what you're putting on there is going to sustain you. So some healthy peanut butter or any of the nut butters. There's such a variety out today. And you could do nut butter on a cracker, or some avocado pears, another healthy fat. They're in season now, so they're delicious on a cracker. And you could load it up. It's a nice way to get that color and variety in. So a cracker with avo, and you can put some colorful micro herbs on, or a red tomato and red onion. Yeah, so cool. I'd say either of those should get you going.
I had a friend of mine who was a raw vegan chef and trained by Lindt chocolate in Europe, and she made a chocolate mousse with avo and cacao that was just off the hook. So I think I'm going to try some cacao nibs and avo after this chat and see see how that goes. If people want to test out the fasting on themselves, what's a good way to start, and what's a way to keep it safe just as we start to wrap up?
I'd say, find a fasting formula that you're going to be able to adhere to. I prefer rather choosing your hours that you're fasting within a day than going days on and days off. Mm. Those to have intermittent days that you, not eating can lead you very lethargic and maybe depleted in certain nutrients and so on. So rather, you could try with cutting back on hours of that you are eating. And like I say, make sure that the food that you're choosing within that is food that is good food, that's going to sustain you and keep you going. and then monitor yourself. So if you are finding that you've got low blood sugar, or you start your fasting, perhaps you only start eating later on in the day and you're actually ravenous the rest of the day, it's not worth it. I'd rather have a breakfast and a snack and just eat small regular meals than get to the end of the day that you're so hungry trying to play catch up for the meal that you left behind. So I think, yeah, just be truthful with yourself as to what it's doing for you and how you're feeling.
I think that's such incredible advice about being truthful with yourself about how you're feeling and what you're doing. I've seen many, many times with some of our corporate clients that we work with when looking at what they're eating, so they're through our gym, where it's, you know, a little bit of yogurt for breakfast, a small salad for lunch, and then on the way home with the intention to cook a healthy meal, it's grabbing a pizza or a burger, because as you said, they're so ravenous. And I think honesty is so important in what we tell ourselves about what we're doing.
Absolutely. You can be a hero for so many hours of the day, and then suddenly that crashes.
Exactly. And then suddenly in your mind, you become the villain. So absolutely. But Jeanine Sachs, thank you so much for what you've shared with us. Some great advice for our listeners. Jeanine Sachs, registered dietitian. Thank you again. And thank you too, our listeners, for joining us today. You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show, the first show of the new year. And I just wanted to take this opportunity again to wish everyone all the very best for the coming year, an easy and meaningful and connected fast. May we all be inscribed and sealed for a good year. Thank you, everyone.